adjust your radio frequency. This is not a test. This is the Artist First Network.
Cool. Across every time zone covering both hemispheres, it's a featured music special on Artist First World Radio. 93,000 people on average. That's an average, folks. That's how many people listen to our music specials. Some of our music specials have topped the 1 million mark, several over 500,000, and the average is 93,000. Now, that ain't bad, folks. That ain't bad. And we do it with no advertising, and we bring you artists that you have never heard, but you need to hear. Tonight is no exception. We got a band coming out of, was formed in Chicago back in 2004, and they like to call themselves politically charged and socially conscious rock and punk. I like that. And joining us for the hour is a man that some of you will know as Johnny X, but we're going to call him Ian. Johnny, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Johnny was letting me know that Ian's is, what did you say, Irish or Welsh? What?
It's Scottish. It's a Scottish name for John is what we were talking about.
Yeah, I have a son named John and I had no idea. So he's
learning something new every day.
You're helping me already. Ian is the vocalist and bass guitarist. He's joined by Andy Bob Petty as the drummer and backing vocals and Kyle Tilev. Am I saying that right? Is it?
Yep, that's right, actually.
He's a guitarist and backing vocals, and we're going to be playing a bunch of tracks from their material as we go through the broadcast. But first, this is what I do on every one of these programs. Johnny, I like to talk about you as an individual and introduce you to the audience. So did you grow up in Chicago?
No, I'm a transplant. I moved here about 10 years ago, actually, in like 2 months will be 10 years. Originally moved here for music college. I went to Columbia here.
Wow.
I got both my degrees from there, but I'm originally from Cleveland, Ohio.
No way. We're about an hour south of Cleveland, aren't we? Got our start in radio on WERE in Cleveland.
Yeah, I know exactly where you are. I lived in Akron for a few years right before I moved, too.
Yeah, and I'm still a performing musician. Yeah, I know you're old. Yes, I am old, but our band still plays in all around the state of Ohio. But, you know, I got to admit, if there's any other, of course, we're partial to Northeastern Ohio. And as you know, Ian, you're one of the great artists that comes out of Northeastern Ohio. You know, that's why they put the Rock Hall where they put it.
I thought there was a reason why they put that there.
Oh, I could tell you some stories. We used to broadcast from the Rock Hall of Fame regularly. They had a remote studio up there. Anyway, a lot of politics going on up there. Hey, that's right up the alley for you guys because you say you're politically charged and socially conscious, but we'll have to do a show about all the politics at the Rock Hall.
We got plenty of politics in Chicago as well. It's a pretty separate climate out here.
They just put the guy away, the old governor, Blagojevich. He just he's joining the rest of the Chicago politicians. Wait a minute, didn't they put the last governor in prison, too, before him?
Four of the last six.
Okay. Well, there you go, folks. Well, it could be worse. You could live in Youngstown, Ohio, and there's 89 public officials in federal prison from Youngstown. So, anyway. All right, so here you are in Chicago, Illinois, and you formed the band. Are these the guys you formed the band with back in 2004?
No, I'm actually the only original member. Andy Bobby Petty. He's been playing with us about 3.5 years now. So the majority of we've done over 500 shows in about 7.5 to 8 years. He's the majority of those shows we've played with him, though, by this point, because, you know, we picked up more steam these last few years. And then Kyle actually just joined right around New Year's. His first show with us was in December.
Well, folks, there's some great music coming your way. In fact, we're going to get right into the first track right now. The first track is entitled Wrecking Ball, and Ian, give them a little prep. What are they about to hear?
Well, this is, like, as you said, the lead track on our new album. This is just raw power. We really wanted to start off the record with something that just grabbed you right away, and we worked really long and hard to get these drum tones with our producer, Scott Fritz, Stranded on the Planet, here in Chicago, a boutique studio. And we just like felt like we needed to start with this song because of the drums. And there's actually been a couple articles that he's written that have been published about his drum sound in his song. So that's one thing to maybe listen for.
Is called Voice of Addiction, and that's some rocking stuff right there. Johnny X is joining us tonight, and wow, just like you said, those drums, and people won't who aren't music enthusiasts or haven't worked in a studio, they don't know how much time it takes to set up a real drum set. In fact, we have gotten away from it, and I'm going to tell a dirty little secret that many artists don't want to admit. We won't even spend the time anymore. We use electronic drums in the studio. Of course, we use live in the live performance, but because of the time it takes, describe
that. True, just tuning home and making sure there's no issues.
You know, with real drummers. Yeah, I mean, I would hate to take a guess, but I'll do it anyway, and I would say probably half, at least half, of all the music that makes the top charts does not actually have a drummer in the studio at that time. It is electronic because they're so good now you can't tell audibly, you know, if you get a real
right.
good
Right. Well, what's the old saying? Like, you know, if you get signed, get rid of your drummer because there's always a better one.
And then there's all the drummer jokes, like, what do you call people who hang out with musicians? Drummers.
Why do drummers get to park in handicapped spaces?
Why?
They put their drumsticks on the dash.
What do you call a drummer without a girlfriend? Homeless? Yeah. What do you call half the guys in my band without their girlfriends? Homeless. Well, you know, you're in a wild business, and you were mentioning, you guys have done, what did you say, 500 gigs in the past?
Yeah, it's probably around 8 years by now, and we've done a little over 500. We've done over 100 a year for the last 3 years, so a majority of these came recently. As I mentioned, Andy Bobby's been with us about 3.5, so most of those have been with him. And, yeah, it's a wild ride, but, you know, we live for the road, and we're about to get on it again. We're actually going to be heading out your way pretty soon. We start out our East Coast tour with Michigan and then Ohio. So we'll be in Cleveland on May 7th, Akron on May 8th, and Columbus on May 9th.
Hey, we'll have to have Corey come cover your shows. He's doing something tomorrow in Pittsburgh. Corey King, folks, the Corey King Show. Corey's 23 years old. He's already been on a 10-state tour with his band, just a great up-and-coming artist. And, yeah, I'll let him know about that. He might want to come up and do a backstage with you up there.
Nice. Yeah, we play Pittsburgh, too, on the way back on the 16th.
There you go.
And Cincinnati on the 17th.
And, you know, I'm getting old, man. A lot of the bands that he mentions are new bands that I am not all that familiar with.
Well, that's good. That means there's new music, and, you know, that's important. I'd rather any time of day. It's not just because, you know, I'm, you know, an underground artist as well, but I'd rather hear good music from somebody I don't know than good music from somebody I know. You know what I mean? I'd rather be surprised by new music being good than already knowing it's good. You know what I mean?
Well, and what you are describing is a symptom of why AM and FM radio in America is plummeting in listenership. What? Oh, they don't tell you that on your local Clear Channel station, do they?
People. No, I mean, how many times can you listen to Led Zeppelin in the Doors before you decide to listen to something else?
Well, and where is the next, you know, and somebody just told me recently that the last major rock station, it was in a big city, it might have been Chicago or maybe it was New York City, is closing down because you cannot support in a big market. There aren't enough advertisers and presumably people that want to to support a station.
We do have one major rock station here, WXRT, but they don't cater to the heavier genres quite as much. They more do like rock and roll and folk and blues and kind of more of that type, which is great stuff, and it's a great station, but you wouldn't hear Voice of Addiction played on there.
Yeah, and I, you know, I'm not against the Rolling Stones. When we play a Rolling Stones tune, people jump up and think. But, you know, the guys are going to be out there with their walkers soon. You know, and that's okay. God bless them if they can still perform into their 70s.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
But I'm missing the next generation. Where is the next Aerosmith? Where's the next Beatles? Where's the next generational band that's going to be around? You know, maybe it's Voice of Addiction, folks, and maybe this is a... this is the path this band will take. But, you know, some of these guys you see, you know, do you think Beyonce is really going to be a household word 20 years from now? Is she going to be able to sell any tickets anywhere?
Well, I don't think the music business is set up that way anymore. The people aren't building artists. Like, here's an old school example. Take Elton John. He didn't get any recognition until he'd already put out 3 or 4 albums. And they don't build artists like that anymore until they get to the point where they catch on. If you don't make it in an album, at least as far as major labels are concerned, then you're done. So the fact of a band getting that big these days and staying that big for a long time is just so few and far between. Granted, there's big ones. You got like Radiohead, that's one of the biggest bands around right now. But they are few and far between because it's just so hard to maintain that attention when there's just so many bands out there. And that's for lots of reasons. It's not just, you know, radio and whatever else. And it's also the oversaturation of people being able to record on their computers now. People being able to go down to Guitar Center and buy a $100 guitar that's not great but good enough, you know, to get them by. So there's just all these bands recording, all these bands playing, which is awesome, and I encourage that. But it does oversaturate the marketplace where it makes it hard for people to stand out because there's always something new. But I think the fact that it keeps rotating, keeps things fresh, and keeps people feeding off each other's ideas, and that keeps, you know, the musical progression going down the line so things don't sound the same, hopefully. Well, nobody wants every band to sound the same, you know?
Yeah, that's right. You know, and just turn on your local Clear channels, folks. You want to hear a bunch of bands that sound alike and a bunch of music that makes you want to throw up as you listen to it.
Yeah, it's all the same. And I'm like, who is this? Never heard of them. Sounds like that last time.
And that's right. And, you know, because they're not willing to take a chance. It's kind of like,
it's not always the band. That can also be the producer or the record label that'll tell them, you know, that breakdown's cool, but why don't you try something like this? And it's a formula. It is a formula that works. The A-B, bridge, chorus, out.
Exactly.
Formula.
That's the formula that people sat with the glasses on at a board table, at a boardroom table.
Not musicians.
Hey, we've had record producers that have retired. Oh, I can't remember the gentleman's name off the top of my head, but he used to put out his label. Was it Universal maybe or Paramount? They used to own some of the Beatles stuff. And he said right on the program, we'd sit there and figure out, now, let's put an album together that can make us, the record label, the executives, the most money. So we're only going to put a handful of good songs on there. If we put enough good songs, they'll buy it and we'll fill it up with filler. The other songs that you're going to hate. So you force somebody, in that case, probably to spend $24.95 for this CD collection, and they knew they're sandbagging it with a bunch of crappy stuff that no one's going to listen to. Of course, now with iTunes, you don't have to put up with crap like that. You can download one song at a time, and it's harder for the record labels to take money out of your pocket with songs you don't really want to listen to.
Well, another side of the equation we were talking about, like bands being as big as Aerosmith or Rolling Stones, is the fact that people don't listen to albums anymore. Like, I mean, I know you were talking about dating yourself earlier. I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm still pretty young, but I'm not like that young anymore. But I'd like to listen to a whole album, start to finish. Put on side A of the vinyl, flip it over, listen to side B. But anybody younger, you're lucky if they make it through the song before skipping to the next artist, song, album, whatever. You know, nobody listens to albums anymore.
How true. And I think part of that reason is for what I just said, because even if an artist in the last 20 years, 30 years, if an artist had a great concept idea for an album, often their record label would chop it into three albums. Say, well, we can't shoot the whole wad in the first album, but all right, well, let's get on to some more music. We are listening to the Voice of Addiction Band, and that's Johnny X on the phone with us. He is the vocalist and bass guitarist, and he gets all the chicks. That's what they tell me anyway.
It's about time the bass player did.
That's right, man. So, yeah, the lead singer, I'm tired of them getting all the chicks. But the next cut we're going to play is called Constant Pollution. And, again, these guys are politically – they're intelligent. Hey, how's that for a musician for a change?
We're a thinking band.
Yeah, you're a thinking band, and congratulations. So, obviously, this is about pollution. What was your thoughts on this song?
I wrote this literally the week after the big Gulf oil spill that happened. What was that, about 2 years now or so?
Yeah, about 2 years ago this month.
So after that happened, I wrote this, and it's kind of just like, you know, we can't keep, the whole thing is, we can't just point the blame at anybody. We're kind of all to blame for this because we all take part in this economy.
We'll be right back.
Listening to a good band, Voice of Addiction. They're out of Chicago, and Johnny X, the bass player and just all-around good-looking guy, is joining us for this broadcast. Yeah, we already mentioned he's the one that gets all the chicks, but that's because you're the best-looking of all the fellas. Is that a burden to be the most handsome guy in the band?
Well, you know, I try. At least I try to steal the chicks from the other guys.
Well, and you know, folks, the voiceofaddiction.com, just like it sounds, or it's voice, or you know, when you look at your name, all put together, you can find other words in there that your mind can, anyway. Anyway, you guys can figure it out. It's linked up on the homepage, and you can see all the videos and stuff. They got a great player. You can listen to their music. When you guys sit down to write a piece of music, you know, what is it? Something you just consciously do, or does something strike you in the world to like the last one? You know, obviously it was a big oil spill and constant pollution, and you know that. An incident. Is that the way it works for you most of the time?
Well, I mean, I think inspiration can come from anywhere. It could be just a melody or a rhythm you hear either like out in nature or even in urban nature, or it could just be a thought, or it could be something you hear that you can strike you at any time. Like usually how the song starts, I write like the skeleton or the backbone on acoustic guitar and vocals. And then, you know, we come up with the rest of it as a band, and, you know, it changes drastically. But, you know, the backbone, basic verse and chorus ideas are there, you know what I mean? And I don't know, sometimes, like this new song that we're learning right now, I wrote it, like, within 20 minutes, everything. The whole song, the lyrics, everything. Then there's other ones where it's, like, parts I maybe messed with a year ago that I didn't think about, and then something strikes me that, like, just goes perfect with it, and then it strikes the song, and then it finishes, you know? Sometimes they take a while to write, sometimes they write themselves. And you never know when inspiration is going to hit. That's something they told me in school. It's like always make sure you got pen and paper or like a little voice recorder on you to make sure that when this hits you, you can document it so you don't forget about it. You know, or lead such busy lives, you don't want to lose that gold that you randomly just generated.
Yeah, we were just talking about that on the previous broadcast with authors, how they try to save ideas that come to them in the middle of the night. And I was relating how it's even worse for musicians because not only are you thinking about lyrics, you're also thinking about melodies. And I'm old enough to, you know, we used to have cassette players and you'd throw the cassette in there. Now you can call your own voicemail. You can just call yourself on your phone or use the voice recorder on your phone to save ideas. But, you know, trying to keep little slips of paper. You know, I wrote down this lyric on a napkin. I was at, and then you lose the napkin. And, you know, how are you going to keep track of stuff like that?
I still write everything down. I never do the voice recorder. I don't know why, but if it's a melody, I'll just write down the notes real quick, you know? But I don't know. I'm weird like that. Like, I'll write things down on regular paper before I type them out. It just, I don't know. I've always done that way.
And you're also formally trained. You know, guys like us that have been playing all these years, we can't read music to save our lives, so we have to come up with something audibly because we can't write the notes down.
And, well, it doesn't always help. Not everybody speaks the same language, but, you know, I can't complain. It enables me to play music full-time, so I can't complain.
And what a blessing. Do you realize how many artists are out there who could never actually do what you're doing right now? I think I don't know if you realize that these might be the greatest years of your lives. We toured for about 5 years, and then it was over. And, you know, some of the fondest memories. I mean, you can't, you know, you might be the Rolling Stones and out there when you're in your 90s. And hopefully, anyway, Voice of Addiction will be around for decades to come. But you're living large, man. Did you ever just sit down and realize, you go, man, I do music for a living?
Well, today is tax day, so I just did my taxes, and I'm looking over how many miles we toured this year, and it's like 20,000.
Wow. Well, and people don't realize, you know, I don't know how many ramen noodle packs on a little hot plate we made in the hotel rooms. What do you mean you can't cook in hotel rooms? We did every single one.
Oh, yeah. We've done grilled cheese on those little camping stoves in hotel rooms.
Oh, yeah. And when you're in the hotels, you got to make sure you go downstairs into the restaurant when it's happy hour so you can eat the little wiener wings for free.
Little wiener wings?
You know, the little hot dogs, they're a little about half the size, you know, or meatballs.
Oh, okay.
They always have some kind of hors d'oeuvre thing for free, and we start drinking around 4 anyway, so, you know. Anyway.
Well, you gotta build up the persona for the show at night.
Yeah, and I'm just saying, folks, it's a lot. There's some wonderful times, and then there's not so romantic times on the road.
Well, the biggest thing is it's a different city every day, and sometimes they're only an hour or two apart, but sometimes, like in Texas, Austin to El Paso that we just did last summer, that's 9 hours. There's nothing in between there at all. Like, even if you want to play a show, it's impossible. You know, so it's like sometimes you have those big drives in between it as well. You really don't stop. You literally wake up and drive to the next show, and you a lot of times don't get there until about load-in. You try to get some food in you real quick, and then you play a show and find a place to crash, wake up, do it all over again. Not for everybody, but we love it, and, you know, it's for love of music that we keep going.
After a while, you're sort of like, man, wouldn't it be great to sleep in my own bed for a change? You know, what's my house look like?
You know, I got itchy feet. I love traveling. I love the road. Nothing gives me a bigger rush than to be on the road and just to not know what's going to happen next. Because the craziest stories I have from being on tour with the band, you know, it's always something new.
Well,
and the unknown is part of the fun.
We're going to have you dwell on that thought. When we get back from playing this next cut, we're going to talk about some of the great experiences and not so great experiences from being on the road. This is Z-Man. I'm sitting in for tonight's music special. The band is Voice of Addiction, and that's Johnny X on the line with us. And we're going to play a tune right now called September Remembered. Check this out, everybody. We'll be right back.
extinguish the fire. God's a temple, it's a temple. Just off the side to believe.
We got a good band tonight, folks. Voice of Addiction's the name of the band, and Johnny X, their star bass player and just all-around swell guy, is joining us from Chicago tonight. That's another great tune. What did you write that about?
That was actually like one of the oldest songs I wrote in the album. We released that as a single about a little over a year before the album came out. It's called September Remembered. Contrary to popular belief, if anything with September, and it's obviously about September 11th here in New York, and not to downplay that situation. But that's not what I wrote it about. I wrote it about in Spain, the anarchist revolution in 1936. The month of September was a month that was peaceful. Everything worked and everything got along. Now, in October was a whole different story. That's when, you know, they got attacked and overthrew the government. And that was the longest-lasting anarchist revolution in history. So, I mean, whether you agree with that whole theology or thought doesn't really matter as much as, you know, it's something to be studied for the fact that it worked longer than any other counterculture of its type.
Well, bravo for bringing some intellectual property. Maybe that's the wrong way to say it, but you have an understanding of the world around you, which often escapes many artists. I don't know.
Well, I try. You know, I just try to write about what I see and, you know, I don't want to write about anything that I don't feel true or close to my heart or anything like that, you know. Like, I mean, music should be personable. When you write it, it should be about your personal experiences, and you should put that in everything, whether you're writing about something bigger than yourself or not.
But I think history has proven that art speaks to people, whether it's a painting, a sculpture, a book, or a song, whatever, just a photograph. You can reach people in a deeper and more meaningful fashion when you do it through art than just standing talking to somebody.
Right.
I don't know.
Art is revolution, as they say.
I don't know. It's part of the human nature. I mean, we're drawn to things. It's like a campfire. You just kind of have to stare at it after a while, or maybe that's when the acid kicks in. Wait, we're not saying
it's been a while since those days, man.
Don't ever take acid, folks. Trust me. It's not worth it. Voice of Addiction is our band. Johnny X is our guest, and we're going to continue playing more cuts off of the new album. But in case someone can't stay for the rest of the broadcast, let's start telling people where they can get your music.
All right, the place I always tell people to go is our official website, voiceofaddiction.com. One, because it's cheaper than anywhere else, because there's no middleman taking their cut. And two, we just have like the best selection of all our merchandise on there. We have our store on there, and it's just real easy to hear everything. Get everything cheaper than any other outlet.
And that's what it's about, folks. You know, the old days, when you dropped 1995 for that album that had two good songs on it and the other 12 stunk, the artist was lucky if the entire band got the opportunity to split up about 75 cents. Less than a dollar was divided them up among all the band members. The other $18.95 went to the fat bastards at the record company and the distribution crime syndicate. What? Am I allowed to say that? The iTunes, we sell a radio show up there. I think it's 99 cents, and we get 89 cents. So we can make more money selling a single song on iTunes, we meaning musicians now, than the best record deal Elton John ever got. It's just terrific. What a great time to be an artist. You know, 25 years ago, you'd have a different uphill battle to just get heard at all. You know, because of the changes, you know, you didn't have access to radio. There was no Wi-Fi radio. It was too expensive to cut an album. You needed $50,000 in sophisticated equipment and go into a studio. Now
you need a $500 version of Pro Tools and a couple microphones.
That's right. Now everybody's in the game. It's leveled the playing field. What's it like for you guys in the studio? Would you rather spend an hour recording or would you rather be out on the road playing?
Oh, that's hard to say. I mean, they're kind of just both, like, equally fulfilling because, this last record, we did 13 cuts, and we spent about 6 months in the studio, like, 2-3 days a week. We were in there, like, 10-15 hours a day, and we were still touring on the weekends. So we were doing this during the week while we still gigged on the weekends, and it was a ton of work, but it totally paid off. And you need to record to tour. Like, I mean, that's what you do. You put out an album, you tour in support of it. So whenever you do a big tour, it makes the most sense to do it when you release an album, because then you have a new thing to promote and a new thing to sell. Because, I mean, I hate to break to people, but that's your savior on the road is your merchandise. You got to have good merch to sell to feed everybody, to get that hotel room when you don't have a place to crash, you know? To get the essentials when the gig doesn't work out and the promoter stiffs you on money, even if you pack the place. You know, it happens.
What? A club owner didn't... What? Wait a minute. I thought club owners were all swell guys that really took care of the bands all the time. You mean that doesn't happen?
Well, I can't talk too much crap because, as I mentioned to you earlier, I also own a booking promotion company. So I am in that realm as well. But it's like anywhere, you know. There's people that suck everywhere. It doesn't matter where you look.
You're true.
There's always going to be a small percentage of people that just suck and are there to take advantage of people. And everybody wants to make it that plays music, or at least get heard more than they are. And there's just a whole slew of people out there that take advantage. And it's really sad, and it sucks, because a lot of bands end up wasting a lot of money on things that do absolutely nothing for them but fill somebody's pockets, and they get nothing out of return just because they didn't know any better.
And the person collecting the money knows darn well
that
nothing is going
to
happen.
It's not done without them knowing what they're doing, you know?
They're out there by the buckets.
There's people like that in every industry. It's a shame how rampant you see it these days. I mean, every day I get online and check my emails, I'm deleting like half of them because it's those same type of scams. And, I mean, at this point, you know, I know better, but I won't lie. When I was younger, I probably got taken in by one or two small ones, you know? And that's how these people make their money. They mass email everybody, and they figure a few people will give in.
Well, I still get emails here at the station. Buy this media guide. Inside this expensive collection is the address of all the major record labels. Major record labels don't take unsolicited stuff. What? Yes. My buddy that was an executive at Sony Music, he said, yeah, the girl down the hall, all she does is send what they call drop-dead letters. It went something like this. Please do not send us any more music. We destroyed your album unopened, and we're sending you this letter because you put a return address on it. Don't call us. Yet these people will sell you these lists. They'll try to keep up this false notion that that's how the record industry works, and that's where they find their talent, and it's a bunch
of
bullshit.
Nobody has time to go through that many emails and listen to all the bands, you know?
Well, the real reason they don't do it was because of, if I understand this correctly, and I could be wrong, listeners, but historically speaking, back in the 80s, there were some huge landmark cases. One was actually with the Saturday Night Fever album. The Bee Gees got busted. Another one was involving, someone stole a song from Huey Lewis in the News. What happened was, decades after music was put out, the record companies got sued for tens of millions of dollars, and they lost. So what the record industry, they didn't want a time bomb. When you say, I wrote this song, they don't know that you wrote that song. They have no idea that 15 years down the road, they're going to get sued for $50 million because you lied to them 15 years ago. There's a guy named Jeffrey Steele. You never heard of him, but he's had, I don't know, 60 chart toppers. He works for used to work for Sony Music and wrote for everybody. He was an employee of Sony. And they knew that he wrote those songs, and there wouldn't be some huge judgment down the road. But anyway, all those times are past. The last thing you want to do, folks, is sign a record deal with a major label, because they'll make you famous, but you'll make them rich.
Exactly. And that's why there's so many more independent artists these days, is because they're realizing on the small scale. Just real quick, in my mind, as an independent artist, the one and only way to really make any money and a living at all is by playing out live. That's where we sell most of our merch. That's where we make most of our money. Like, I mean, that's the best thing to do, is to hit the road, because everybody's on iTunes, but it doesn't mean they'll find you.
That's right. You're echoing the words of the last famous executive that was on, get out there and play. All right, folks, it's Voice of Addiction is the band that we're talking to. That's Ian. He's also known as Johnny X. And we're going to try to squeeze two more cuts in before we completely run out of time. Here's a cut called Mother.
From the cell with tectonic plates, we've landed on mission to the side by nothing's living. Fossilized and carbon footprints, all analysis makes no difference. Nothing here can have ever been born. You've been forewarned. No lesson has been learned. Just all the answers that I can return. No lesson has been learned. Let the cities flood and the forest burn. It's easy to see what was the matter with the plague by natural disaster. Preemptive symptoms of their annihilation. Pass a point to adapt to defend. Put profits before people. Capital has dividends. No lesson has been learned. Cause all reactions till they can return. No lesson.
The band is called Voice of Addiction. They're available everywhere on all the common iTunes, etc., probably CD Baby and the whole lot. You can also see them in person, depending if you're listening to an archive. They have a bunch of stuff on the website over at voiceofaddiction.com. You'll want to surf over. And hey, if you're in northeastern Ohio and other parts in the east, they're going to be all over the place. Maybe you'll get to see them. And Johnny,
yeah, we got a lot of tours coming up this summer.
And Johnny was off the air. Johnny told me to announce that if you come up to a show and say that you heard Johnny X on our station, he will give you a brand new $100 bill. These guys are making money, folks. They got money rolling, and I made all that up. So don't get into it. Don't mess.
Please don't do that to me.
What is the worst thing that has ever happened to you at a performance?
Okay, one that comes to mind, I don't know if I'd say this is the worst thing. Well, one of the worst things, this is many years ago, it was a new venue. They had an enormous snake down the middle of the stage. People don't know what that is. It's a big coil of a lot of smaller tables. So it's pretty big. And it's an elevated stage, you know, about 3-4 feet off the ground. And the second song, I trip on this thing. I'm going towards the edge of the stage. There's like a 6-inch lip with a metal pipe. So I jumped to avoid that. There's actually a picture of me landing. I shattered my foot in 3 places.
Oh, really?
I didn't know it. There was lots of adrenaline, probably a couple whiskey shots. So I jumped back on stage and finished the set. And then slowly throughout the night, you know, it starts, you know, becoming more and more prevalent. By the end of the night, when I helped the out-of-town band park, I couldn't even walk. I was, like, on people's shoulders. 3 days later, I had to play the Queens of the Stone Age after party. On crutches.
Wow. Yeah, you know, something goes crazy on stage like that where you fall over and people don't realize that they just hold lighters above their heads. They're like, yeah, man, did you see that? Yeah, people don't understand sometimes whether it's supposed to happen, you know?
Another quick one real quick. On the last U.S. tour, we were in Tucson, Arizona, and during our set, we were one of the middle bands out of four. I believe we were third. You know, we play our set, we finish, I run over to the merch table, I'm hawking stuff, whatever, I don't realize what's going on. I see the band starting to set up after us, and then they start taking it off. I'm like, what's going on? They're like, show's done. Like, what happened? Apparently, somebody ripped the urinal off the wall. So they shut the show down, and nobody got paid.
Oh, jeez.
You never know what'll happen. That's part of the fun.
Let's go to a bar, I'm going to tear the toilet up. You know, okay, yeah, I know.
You know, I always tell younger bands that, like, touring's like a roller coaster ride. There's going to be ups and downs, and, I mean, you just got to hope that there's more ups and downs. And obviously, we've been doing this for a little while now, so, you know, we have a lot more ups and downs. But you're going to have downs. Even the biggest band is going to have downs. You just got to hope the good's up, like, outweigh them.
That's right. And you have, and you're smart. You understand that there's going to be those cycles. And so if you understand
it, you
can deal with it better when you know that it's that, you know, this will pass too. You know, you guys got a lot of good things going on. I like the social consciousness and the political angle you take on your music.
Thanks.
Obviously, you have an understanding of history society anyway. And I really applaud you for being a socially conscious band, and others could learn a lot from you guys at Voice of Addiction. Bravo. Well, we are rapidly running out of time, folks. I guess this will be our final segment, and we're going to go out with a tune. But we got some business to take care of first. Okay, this is a business, folks, and we want you to get out there. Spend a few bucks with Voice of Addiction. You can do that right now. Where can they spend money with you?
Like I said, go to our website at voiceofaddiction.com. That's where our store is. All our music and all our merch is drastically cheaper there than anywhere else because we don't have to pay the middleman. You know, it's just us. We run our own store. The absolute cheapest way beyond that would be to come to our shows. We always cut deals at shows. You talk to us. We're real people. You know, we want you to have our merchandise, to have our album, to have our hoodie, to have our shirt, etc. And we're going to be all over the U.S. this year. We're about to head out in May on an East Coast tour. And then in July and August, we'll be in the Southeast and South, like Texas area, and then the Midwest.
Wow. You're living large, Johnny, man. You guys got it going on. I wish I was a young kid doing what you're doing.
We're trying, man. Just keep pushing forward.
Well, anything Artists First can do to further your career and support your band in any way, shape, or form, you just let us know how we can help. We are here at your disposal.
We appreciate it, man, and we appreciate what you're doing for the scene as well.
Well, we're trying, folks. Now, we're actually not going to get to play one of the two remaining songs that Ian sent. So I'll ask you, do you want to go out with You're All Crazy, or do you want to go out with Warriors?
I want to go out with Warriors because that's just such a high-energy sing-along song, and it's just about the kids that come out to all the shows and enable us to do over 100 shows a year. That enable us to be able to be away from home that long and keep bringing our music all across this country and in Canada and hopefully Europe sometime soon.
Well, congratulations on a great project, and let us know how we can help. And listeners, how you can help is to go out and spend a few bucks with the band. You can go to the websites. You can do the places that Ian just told you about. You know, I'm interchanging that, folks. Ian is also Johnny X, okay? You guys may have figured that out by the end of the show here. But I just want to say again what a pleasure it is to talk to you. You're an intelligent, articulate guy, and congratulations on a great project, and we look for big things from you guys in the future.
Thanks for having it, and we appreciate it.
Hey, when you're down in this area again, a former Ohio native he is, Corey's going to come up and cover one of your shows. It'll be a great time.
Awesome.
Thanks for being with us, everybody. The band, again, is called Voice of Addiction. We're going out with the Last Cut Warriors. This is Z-Man on behalf of myself and Johnny X. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Jumped up on the stage and grabbed the microphone. But is there anybody listening? It's just a soundtrack to our generation. We keep saying, whoa! Anybody listening? Just a soundtrack to a generation.